popping up the champagne. Pop. It's my house. Come on, turn it up.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Make yourself at my home. Tell me where you've been.
Hello there.
Pour yourself something cold, baby. Cheers to this.
It's on, right? Yeah. I can't even hear it in my headphones. Hello there, and welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here on this edition of CBD. Not a victory Monday, unfortunately, as the Browns fall 29-10 to the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, I don't think it was all bad. Was it good? No, I'm not coming on here to try to, you know, tell you things that you saw didn't happen. But it was a game where the Browns showed, in some ways, their youth, their inexperience, but at the same time, some of the veterans had rough days, and ultimately, it was a series of too many mistakes, whether they be physical, whether they be mental, that culminated in a game that the Browns were unable to win. They had some momentum going in that second quarter, into the third quarter, they get the field goal, they're down 13-10, they get the ball, a stop, they get the ball back, then the snap over RG3's head, safety, followed up by a touchdown, and all of a sudden, you're looking at it, and it's 22-10, and then after that, the wheels just kind of fell off the bus. But I think when you look at this game, there were a couple critical moments that completely changed the complexion of the game. The attempt to go forward on that fake punt.
And high snap.
The high snap on that as well, but that right. was caught. But that was an interesting one, Matt, and I know you're doing some special teams work right now. We're a special team standout in your time in the NFL that – you know, I like the aggression of it, but when you saw, you know, in the All-22, the lineup, they had one more guy at the line of scrimmage than we had to block, and one of the guys we were counting on to block was Britton Colquitt.
Right.
Which I think, you know, you're going for it, you're being aggressive, trying to catch him off guard, surprise him real quickly. That ended up not working out. You had the snap over.
Was that our first punt of the game?
I don't think so. I think it was the second.
Okay. I'm just asking because in my experience, both now is I always want to get a look and a feel of how they're aligning against us, if that makes sense. You don't want to come out of the gates based on something you think you see on film, especially with it being the first game of the season. You don't necessarily know what you're going to get. And that's why it was a little surprising.
Yeah, no, we came out. The first time we had the ball was the three and out. Colquitt punted for 49 right. yards. Second time we came out, Colquitt punted for 59 yards after a three and out. The third time we had the ball is when we tried it on a 4th and 5 with the direct snap to Duke Johnson, ended up losing 6 yards. Now, in reality, you know, you look at this defense, and we said, you and I said, that this team needed to give up less than 20 points to have a chance to win defensively. And if you're going to ask me to go for the positive in this game, I'm going to start really, and I'm probably going to stay, on the defensive side of the ball. When you look at the fact that they were they held the Eagles to 5 of 15 on third down, that's a pretty good number. We were concerned about them running the ball down our throat. Ryan Matthews was limited to 3.5 yards per carry, which was a number
making him work.
If you had told me at the beginning of the game that we would hold Ryan Matthews to 3.5 yards per carry and them as a team to 3.9 yards per carry, I think you'd feel pretty good about that. That's something that you would say, okay, I think that I can live with that. And unfortunately, that wasn't enough. Jordan Matthews really kind of had his way all day long with Tremont Williams and Joe Hayden as well. And that was something that was, you know, we counted on them being able to win that matchup.
Correct. And on Nelson Agholor.
Absolutely. And that's what was tough. So let's look at the drives for the Eagles. And this is something that I think is fairly interesting and fairly relevant. And we talked about, we'll go back to that 20-point number. They got 3 points off of the field goal after the fake punt where they basically started off in field goal range.
Correct.
So that's three that I won't necessarily – if they held to a field goal, that was kind of a win in that circumstance. They got 2 points for the safety, which is 5. And then they got 7 points on the touchdown that they got at the end of the game when they basically took the ball over at the Browns 15. So that's 12 points. So really the defense in terms of just normal defense – held them to about 15 points. And when I look at the drives, here's what's interesting to me. They get up a 70-yard drive on the first drive of the game for a touchdown. And that was one where had him in a 3rd and 4. It was his first third down
Xavier
of his
Cooper
career.
Jumps offsides.
And he jumped offsides. Can't have that. Browns can't have that. They are not a good enough team.
The margin for error is small.
It is razor thin for this football team. And then you go, their second 5 plays, 7 yards, they punt. Six plays. They get the ball back on Cleveland's 42 after a long punt return. The defense holds them to six plays, 14 yards, and a missed field goal. So good job by the defense again right there. Then they take it over on downs at the Cleveland 35. They hold them to a field goal. Then they have a long drive, a three and out, a long drive, 11 plays, 60 yards that results in a field goal. Bend but don't break. So really in the first half, the defense actually played pretty well. Second half, they get the ball at their own 25. They punt. They have a nice drive there after 9 plays, 73 yards for the touchdown, which I believe was right after the safety.
Yes.
So that was they had two real long drives. On the day, they only had three drives, of more than 40
yards on the
day. It
was on the safety. You can look at the top and see 10:54 to 10:49.
Yep, that was the safety. So then you hold them to a punt, three and out punt. And these drives, starts the Cleveland 47, three and out punt. Started the Philadelphia 29, 21, punt, punt, punt. The defense actually in the second half, other than the drive where they gave up the touchdown after the safety, four punts, and then the one touchdown came 15 yards. I think the defense ultimately did its job. People might be surprised to know, and I certainly was as I went through the stats of this game, they held the Eagles to 5.5 yards per play. The Browns actually averaged 5.8 yards per play. So what's the problem? They ran 73 plays to the Browns' 50. Same number of total drives. In fact, the Browns had one more drive. 23 first downs to the Browns, 4. They did hold the Browns, held them to 5 of 15 on third down, which is good. The problem for the Browns is they were just 2 of 10 themselves.
Right. And here's another. The average starting field position. Cleveland Browns started on average on the 21-yard line. The Eagles on the 38. Okay, that's 17 yards times 12 drives for the Philadelphia Eagles. That's 194 yards of field position.
Yeah.
In the favor of the Eagles.
Yeah.
That
is massive.
That is massive.
Massive. And that was, to me, the problem. That defensively, they did enough. They were put in bad situations. You had the one turnover where the good tip by Hicks, the linebacker, on the slant there. But, you know, we talked about the Xavier Cooper jumping off sides. That extended a drive. And that ultimately was a drive that led to points. Who knows? You could get off the field right there. Could have gotten off the field right there. Gary Barnage, big play gear. A massive drop on a third down.
Yes.
On a beautiful back shoulder throw from RG3. And I thought RG3 came out looking good. And as the game went on, looked worse. And then we know he got dinged up there at the end. And hopefully we'll have an update on his health for you today. But too many mistakes. The Corey Coleman drop on that slant. He's got to get his hands out in front, you know, and had his kind of hands behind and ended up dropping in that. That was one that could have ended up being a big play. I thought that offensively what makes me a little nervous was you look at the drives for the Browns. We talked about for them, you know, they only had three drives of more than 41 yards. The Browns had three drives of more than 41 yards. They led to a touchdown and a field goal. The only drives that the Browns produced points on, you had the bomb to Pryor and the bomb to Coleman. Now, that other drive when they started really getting it going there that resulted in the interception, that's where you felt pretty good because you had the 7-play for 74-yard
yep.
drive. This was our whole – basically, this was the entire game of offense for the Browns. 7 plays for 74 yards that led to the touchdown.
7 for 52.
7 for 52.
With the interception.
The interception at Philly 28, and then 5 for 58 to start the third quarter, and that resulted in a field goal. Other than that,
it's okay. 47, 50, 63, 99, 98, and 8 yards.
Yeah, not much.
107 yards.
Yeah,
106 yards.
That was it. The rest, those three drives accounted for basically 200 yards.
Correct.
So there wasn't the consistency there offensively. But I think defensively, if you want to take anything away from this game that makes you feel good. Look, I thought the Browns could go in there and win this game. I thought that they had an opportunity. Carson Wentz played a great game. You got to tip your cap to him. He was able to identify, you know, we thought that there would be less one-on-one on the outside in this game. Obviously, that's where they thought there was the advantage. The touchdown to Aguilar one-on-one, just a straight nine route. Touchdown to Jordan Matthews, just a straight nine route going against Tremont Williams.
Throwing it in the bucket for him.
And those are good bucket throws, very good throws by Carson Wentz. And I had an opportunity to catch up with our former offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, who was
quarterback's coach.
The quarterback coach there. And obviously very thrilled to work with him. Before the game, I don't know if he was worried about what was going to happen per se, but mentally they loved him. They just didn't know how to respond. And Carson Wentz did a great job. For the people that want to make this a referendum on what the Browns did at the number 2 overall pick, I'm not ready to do that. It was one game, and we'll see how his career goes on. But certainly a great start for Carson Wentz as he went 22 of 37 for 278 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 101 quarterback rating in this one. But overall for the Browns, and Crow's stats were padded at the end, but he rushed for average 5 yards a carry. Duke averaged 7 yards a carry. The team ran 21 times for 120 yards, nearly 6 yards a carry in this one. Coleman,
but how much of that was on those draws, three in a row?
And all of them.
50 yards?
Crow, Crow had that. Duke had the big draw where he got 17 yards. Right. I mean, that basically where it was. Dirt Dog, I did not say the Browns gave up 15 points. I'm saying that if you look at the game, the defense did a great job. And I think the defense played well enough to keep them under that 20-point number. They were put in some very, very difficult situations with the safety, which you can't put on the defense. That's 2 points. 3 points coming off the fake punt where they basically start off in field goal range. I really wouldn't put that on the defense. I think they did a great job to keep them out of the end zone.
Right.
And then the touchdown at the end of the game when they started on the Browns 15-yard line when the game was basically over.
Right.
And they did a good job, by the way, holding them out of the end. They thought they had stopped them. Offsides on Nate Orchard, and then they ran it in. I loved the pride that was shown at the end of the game by that defensive line on that goal line stand because – they stopped them 3 plays in a row.
Yes, they did.
It was. They said Nate Orchard was lined up in the neutral zone, which when you watch it on tape was tough to see.
And to be very honest with you, Nate Orchard, if you watched the game, there were multiple times Nate Orchard was lined up in the neutral zone and they didn't call it. That's something I kept an eye on.
Hold on. I just got a tweet that said I shouldn't be talking about the defense being excited about them holding him to 3.9 yards per carry. He thought I said 3.5 yards carry. He goes, 3.5 yards a carry is good. Brown should not be pleased with that. Where would 3.5 yards per carry rank you if you held your opponents to 3.5 yards a carry? That puts you in the top 12 in the NFL. No question. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
Yeah, if your team, when you were playing with the Chargers, if you came out every week, week in and week out, and held teams to
I think our goal was 3.9 or less.
Yes. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So and by the way, when you've been as bad as the Browns have been the last years at around 5 yards a carry, 3.9 is a significant upgrade. And I thought defensively, Carl Nassib continues to shine for this team. And he continues to be what I would call a true, true bright spot for this football team. Emmanuel Ogba looked very good as well. But on the whole, completely disappointed with the performance on offense. Completely disappointed with the performance on offense. And really what I thought was interesting is we're worried about being so young, but it was guys like Gary Barnidge with the 2 drops, and certainly the one on third down could have been a big momentum play. You don't know where that drive
Joe
goes.
Thomas giving up that sack.
Joe Thomas with the sack at the end. Hayden and Tremont struggling with Jordan Matthews, which was a matchup that I thought we would have a good chance on, and clearly so did the defensive coordinator because he kept leaving them on islands with them, but certainly was not good enough. Too many mistakes, not good enough for a team that has such a small margin of error, and you like the aggressiveness of some of the play calling, but those are the things that when you look at it, that if they work out, those go very well. If they don't, they don't go out so well. I do think our front seven, which is what we were so concerned about, was pretty good. I thought Nassib was good. I thought Ogba was good. I thought even Danny Shelton had a couple plays where he blew Kelsey off the ball and rerouted some of their runs. And I thought Kirksey and DeMario Davis both played very well in the middle of the
game. I thought
defense.
They did all right. I thought there were at times, I thought that both DeMario Davis and Christian Kirksey early in the football games took some bad angles, went underneath blocks, and some runs got out the gates on us, got to our edge. And I thought they were just a step slow. And that can happen in a week when I know DeMario Davis early in the football game, you know, was almost like stumbling over himself trying to run fast enough to get to, you know, Ryan Matthews up the sideline and just couldn't get there. And then, you know, the troops rallied, you know, to knock him out of bounds. But I'm a little shaken, I'm not going to lie,
yep,
after yesterday's football game. For you and I and the amount of time that we spend talking about this football team, being out at practice, and what we've heard from these players, that didn't coincide with what we saw yesterday.
It didn't. It didn't. And it was disappointing. I was certainly a little bit shaken. And, you know, you come back and season opener, 12 years in a row you've lost. Last year it was 31-10 on the road. This year it was 29-10. Last year, you know, your starting quarterback gets knocked out of the game early. This time, we don't know what the status of RG3 is after that hit, but it certainly didn't look great. And I do like his resolve. He was certainly arguing with the trainers on the sideline to go back in and finish the game, yeah, and hand the ball off. But handoffs that would have normally been done with his left hand, he was doing with his right hand,
right,
which stood out. Disappointing. The bright spots, obviously, some of the young guys on defense. And that's pretty much where you're going to go. Offensively, I thought for the most part at the beginning of the game, they did a pretty good job not allowing a ton of pressure to a very good defensive front.
Agree.
As the game wore on and they kept getting pinned back and pinned back and pinned back, that's when the pressure really started to come. It all kind of pretty much came in the second half. But at the beginning of the game, I thought they looked all right. Duke Johnson, we got to find a way to get him, you know, more touches. I think that was clear. And Crow, I thought, to his credit, when given room, was able to do some things, and I thought ran very hard. There were a couple times
he did run really hard,
ran over some people, and showed good vision on the goal line. That was a knock on him last year, was at the goal line. Good vision to bounce that outside and get in the end zone. But ultimately, clearly not enough plays made on the offensive side of the ball, and just a disappointing game, I think, for the offense. And Cam Irving, I don't know what do you say to a guy, because you've seen it in the preseason, snap over the head again in the Falcons game.
Yep.
You've seen it in practice repeatedly. There was one practice where I think he did it three times. And now it happened in a game, and that was the game. And you felt it. You felt it come out of the sideline. You felt it come out of the building. That was the game.
I sitting at home watching that football game, couldn't believe he did it.
But where do you go from there?
I don't know. There's got to be something in Cam's head from some level of football, most likely obviously college and or his experiences last year maybe at guard or something that happened in training camp that is freaking him out about not being able to just flick his wrist back there. Because honestly, it is so easy to just shoot it back there, and maybe he's so concerned about getting beat off the ball and getting out physical at the point of attack that he can't deliver the football and move his feet fast enough versus some type of pressure right on his head.
Yeah, and I think RG3 early, I thought, looked good. I thought the drops maybe rattled him a little bit, and I thought as the game went on, wasn't seeing the field as well. The windows weren't necessarily there. We had a couple of those drives, those three drives where we really had everything
there
moving.
Weren't a lot of windows, and honestly, props to the Philadelphia defense. There weren't a lot of windows. I mean, yes, we had the drops, but I mean, there was time. RG3 was close to 3 seconds or 3 seconds plus in a clean pocket and still looking down the field, trying to force the football somewhere, and ends up going to, Duke or Crow on a check down or and then the pocket collapses. Guys weren't winning down the field.
No, they were not winning down the field. They did make the nice plays on the ball in the air. Coleman and Pryor both did, and those were big wins for those wide receivers. But again, those two passes accounted for more than half of RG3's passing production in the entire game.
Right.
And that
can't happen. The overthrow to Hawkins.
It should have been a touchdown.
Correct.
Yes.
Should have been a touchdown.
Hawk did get grabbed, by the way, on that one.
They didn't call it. So
Bill Russ says, keep looking at this game through your rose-colored glasses. Jeez. What do you want me to say? What else? What could I say?
We do work for the Browns.
What's rose-colored about what we're saying? There were some positives on defense. There were some good things that happened on the defense side of the ball. Offense, completely disappointing. Overall, the mistakes that happened, that was the one thing that I really expected to be cleaned up with Hugh Jackson, because I'll talk about
accountability. It'll take time. It'll take time when you play young players and these guys are excited. And I mean, for Xavier Cooper to be out there on the first third down of the game, that's essentially quote unquote starting in his mind. You know what I mean? A lot of adrenaline, wants to be a difference maker, wants to be a playmaker. A guy like Hugh Jackson has you all pumped up. Now you have to execute your stuff that same way, feeling that way.
It's an execution business. I think we've said that a few times here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850 here on CBD. We do want to hear from you. Your reaction, was it what you thought, worse than you thought, better than you thought? Probably not the latter of those three. But, again, young team, this is a season where, even as optimistic as I get, I said maybe 5-11 would be best case scenario, which is not a great season, to be perfectly honest, but we were asked in the pregame, in the whip, how would you measure success? To me, you got to get to where you were last year, 3-13, and you got to be better in the second half than the first half. This was game one. And this was a game that when they got that field goal, you go in and you look at it. In the third quarter, you get the field goal. The defense holds them, gets you the ball back. All of a sudden, the Browns at that point had run off. Basically, they were outscoring them 10-3 from the middle of the second quarter on. And you felt like you had an opportunity at that point. You're down three. You get the ball back. You have an opportunity to go. And a 15-yard snap over the head, safety. And that really was it. And this, this team is, in my opinion, not close enough to make those kind of mistakes and get away with them.
No, they're not even not close enough. They're not even close to being close enough.
And for the defense, this was a game where they played better than expected, but we've got to see what they look like against Joe Flacco.
Right.
We got to see what they look like against Kirk Cousins in week number three. I mean, the quarterbacks that are coming up now, you've got Flacco.
Tannehill.
You've got Tannehill. You've got Cousins. You've got Brady, Mariota, Dalton.
Fitzpatrick.
That's
going to
be a tough stretch. That's going to be a tough stretch. And did the defense look good? What is Carson Wentz going to look like when he's not playing the Browns?
Right.
You know, we're going to know. We don't have anything to really base this or compare it to, but you are pleased at least with the effort up front against their offensive line. And when they've got Peters and they've got Kelce and they've got Lane Johnson, that's a pretty good trio on the bookends and then in the middle. And I thought our defense up front played well. That was the bright spot in this game. Carl Nassib doesn't look like a rookie. Much like Carson Wentz did not look like a rookie.
And he's not playing the amount of reps a rookie is playing. I mean, he is a starter for us.
Yeah. Rough game. Rough open to the season, to the Hugh Jackson era. Not what I think anybody wanted. Too sloppy. Too many mistakes. That safety, I thought, was, again, the turning point in this game. You had guys that you just count on. Gary Barnage, you count on to make that catch on third down, and it didn't happen. You count on Joe Hayden to be able to stop Nelson Aguilar one-on-one. Or you thought Tremont Williams would be able to hang with Jordan Matthews. Jordan Matthews dropped a couple of passes.
I know he did.
Perfectly honest, and it could have had an even bigger day in that one. All right, we'll take phone calls when we come back. 216-578-0850 is Gerd Wilhelm on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm. Let's just go right into the phone lines. 216-578-0850. Get your reaction. Lewis and Shaker, welcome. Lewis.
Yes, I'm watching the game within the game. I've been looking for this for like the past 7 years, and I think I found it. I wanted a person who will get that whole team fired up, and I think it's Carl Nassib. Carl Nassib is a dog. He's a dog. As a matter of fact, I want him to talk mess this week. When he talks it, let him talk it. And he shows it on the field. And I'm waiting for that to filter down to the rest of the team. I don't want him helping nobody up, patting nobody on the butt. You only do that when you know that you're better than the other team, because that's condescending to them. That's telling them, hey, we're better than you. I don't want nobody on the team helping nobody up, slapping them on the butt. I want to see some dog in this team. And I think Carl Nassib, I think he's the one. I think he's the key.
Carl Nassib, I look good, and that's somebody that I think you're going to be able to be excited about for a while, Ogba as well, but there's still a lot more that has to happen. And I want to send my apologies out to William Harmon. He said, already getting dizzy after one game from all the spinning. It was a rookie quarterback. The D is bad. I don't know what can I say other than I thought that they did, all things considered, a good job. Do I know where this defense stands for the year? I don't.
Statistically, when it was all said and done, it was you had an optimistic approach to it based on what winning defensive football on black and white paper looks like. But as I watched the game, I thought it was, you know what, through a tin horn, really. And I actually thought, and I felt this way. There's times where I've been a player in a game, and this has happened. There's times where, you know, even now that I'm doing the high school coaching, it's like, and that other offense gets rolling against your defense, and it's like, they're doing whatever they want right now. They're toying with us. And the fact that it was led by Carson Wentz, after everything we said last week about 38 snaps and what, 12 of 24 and an interception.
Yeah, let me be clear. I thought the defense should have looked even better. I thought they should have dominated this game.
Right. To my point, it's like that was happening to us, and we thought it was going to be, you know, a dominant performance, our ability to stop the run and force car. It's like, no. Their guys were open. Their rookie quarterback was throwing the ball accurately, dropping it in the bucket, putting it away from the defender. I mean, I'm not just going to go off on a tangent, but like, you know, in front of one corner with Joe Hayden over top of him on that big dig that Wentz threw, and it like somehow magically appeared in Jordan Matthews' hands.
Great throw. Big time throw.
I mean, that's, and for a rookie quarterback to want to have the confidence to rip it across the middle that way, their ability to just identify what we were doing pre-snap. And did you notice, it wasn't so much so that I picked up on any type of tell, but every time Carson Wentz, and he did it a lot, would stand up and give the thumbs up, like, what we're in is good against what they're lined up in. And they would just, and it happened to be, at least remembering the football game from yesterday, a completion or a successful Philadelphia play.
Why
time and time again.
Why did we struggle so much with crossing routes? And we did in the preseason too. That has been something that has victimized this defense. Why did we struggle so much with those crossing routes?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, I think sometimes the linebackers, you've got to take, and I had this happen this past week. We had, you know, Avon Lake was going to run a guy across the middle. My Mike linebacker knocked a guy in his butt a shade before the football arrived, but it sent a message, and there were no more crossing routes. And I think that's something that needs to happen. It's because I think in some cases, all of our corners, Jamar Taylor, Tremont Williams, Joe Hayden, they want to be oh so aggressive and so confident in their ability up at the line of scrimmage, and we get beat off the line of scrimmage, and we get into chase mode.
Yeah.
And there goes the crosser running across the field, running away from you.
And that's what – but often it seemed like we were doing that. They knew when they could dial up man, and Matthews was getting that corner, that crossing route going against Tremont and was having a lot of success with it week after week. I do think for this team to be young, the veterans that are still here need to play and stand out for their positive play rather than for their negative play. 216-578-0850. Let's go to Reg in Youngstown. Reg.
You doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, good, good. Hey, listen, fellas, I just was going to say you took some of the fire out of what I was going to say in general and stuff. But I think that the defense, man, I do, for myself, I think that they play very, very well. I mean, I smile because I think that we're going to have a very good defense, just a good team, period. I was a little bit upset with the offense because some of the passes and stuff are all pro tight end that drops a couple passes crucial during a game, and that really kind of disturbed me about that right there. But the main thing is, man, that I smiled because I'm telling you, the Browns are going to have a very good team, and I wouldn't count these guys out just yet because of the first game and stuff. I believe a lot of people say we're probably going to call because that's when I'm going to be listening here when you all get these other calls and stuff. But in general, I think that the Browns should have a better record than maybe a 5. I believe they can win at least 6 or 7 games if they just pick it up a little more. And the last thing I wanted to say was the coach. Coach Jackson is a guy, man, that I truly admire as a coach and stuff because everything you guys been talking about is true. But did you hear the main thing, what he said? He puts it all in him. A good coach does that, man. He does that. He's a good coach. He's a good coach. I admire him. I really do. So, fellas, that's all I wanted to say. Good to hear you guys talking again and stuff. I'll be listening. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Reg. Let's go to Terry in Cleveland. Terry, I'm sure very excited today. Terry, how are you?
Hey, gentlemen. Great. Let's talk about coaching. I'm glad he mentioned that. Let me give you 5 things that happened. It's 4th down and 5 on your own 41. You're in the football game. It's 7-0. You go for it. Not only do you go for it, you don't even have a punter back. He's up there trying to block. He's never blocked anyone in his life. Joe Thomas, they sent him in motion, which is hilarious. Okay. They also had Joe Thomas at a wide receiver at one point, and they tried a triple reverse. I don't see coaching being all that great. The last comment, the majority of the national people seem to know more about this ball club and organization again than the people who are at practice and in the building in Berea. Take care.
Let's go to Freddie in Dayton now. Freddie, welcome to the show.
How can the defense be so dominating when Philadelphia offense had the ball twice as long as the Browns offense? The defense was totally winded, was totally tired, and that's the story, okay? RG3 and out.
First of all, nobody said the defense was dominant. I think that if you had gone into this game and said you would hold them to 5 of 15 on third down for what our defense had been historically and certainly in the preseason, you would have said that would have been a good number. If you would have said that you would hold them to less than 4 yards a carry and Ryan Matthews to 3.5 on his 22 carries, you would have said that would have been a win for this defense. They got a couple of sacks, one from Kirksey, one from Nassib. They did a good job considering all the short fields that they had to work with. Was it good enough? No, it was not good enough. That's why the Browns did not win this game. Nobody's saying that they were dominant, but that was, in my opinion, that was, if you're looking for anything to be even somewhat excited about as it relates to the Cleveland Browns, it is the fact that the defense made some plays, did some things. Now, I agree with you. Watching it, it seemed like they were on offense the whole time. Well, guess what? They were 40 minutes. Unacceptable. And when we saw that in the preseason, we thought that was a complete aberration. That would never happen. It did happen. And it can happen. Part of the problem is the Browns had more possessions but had so many more three and outs. And it wasn't RG3's best game. And he didn't get help when he did make good throws.
No.
And they got to catch the ball. They've got to be able to do that. And that's something that they struggled with. And it was not good. Not good as far as it goes for this Cleveland Browns team on the offensive side of the ball. That's what Hugh Jackson is here to be kind of the master of, right? And that is to be able to come in and take care of that and say, look, I'm going to run the offense. We're going to be successful. That is not what happened in this game. And that was, I think, a big, big problem. Let's go lastly, Jonathan in Cleveland. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going? I agree with you. I was impressed with the defense. I felt strong when they were on the field because they were really getting wore down. But I'm wondering who's going to return punts.
Yeah.
Like, do you think that guy we got, George Atkinson, is he going to end up being a punt returner?
You know, I don't know. I thought it was interesting that Tremont was back there so often in this game. You'd like to find somebody, I think, with a little bit more of a playmaker there. Yeah, I don't know if they're just trying to ease Corey Coleman in. But, you know, I think you need more ultimately from Corey Coleman than you got in this game, both as a receiver, even though he was the team's leading receiver, although all of it came really on that one long pass. Just too sloppy. I mean, you go back to I know it was only the very first play of the game, but you do a little play action, you get Barnage in motion, roll RG3 out, Barnage gets the free release and is probably going to pick up like 7 yards on first down, and it's a drop, something he never does.
Right.
And it just kind of puts you, all of a sudden, you're in a hole, then you run it, then it's third long, and all of a sudden you're punting the ball right back to them. This team, the veterans on this team need to be the guys that are here and are expected to be leaders, your Pro Bowlers. Barnes was a Pro Bowler last year. We know that Tremont's been to the Pro Bowl. We know Hayden's been to the Pro Bowl. Those guys need to play at an elevated level.
Yeah, and I think yesterday did. Yes, and collectively, their margin for error is so little because the margin for error of the rookies and the number of the rookies that are playing is so much larger. That, and I'm not saying perfect. They don't need to play perfect. They're human beings. I get it. And the other guys are getting paid too. But they need to be consistent. And I think they were inconsistent the entire day yesterday.
Yep. The team was inconsistent. The quarterback play was inconsistent. I thought the cornerback play was inconsistent at best. And interestingly, when you look at the game from a statistical standpoint, you know, you would have thought the guy that they would have gone after was probably be Jamar Taylor in this one. He was targeted 5 times. He didn't have a great day either, but Hayden gave up 60 yards in the touchdown. Tremont Williams, 36 yards in the touchdown. They said that Jamar Taylor, 66 yards on 4 targets. Obviously, Jordan Matthews, the big one on Taylor was that third down one.
Yeah, when he played off.
When he played off, and they threw a very, very nice, ball. That was a great ball right there. And you saw it from Carson Wentz. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go and play you some sound from the podium from yesterday. We've got the quarterback, Robert Griffin III. We hope to have some updates. Peter Schrager of Fox Sports, by the way, reporting that word out of Cleveland is that RG3 will be out for an extended period of time. We have no confirmation for you on that. We will do the best we can to get you any information on that as it comes, but we'll hear from RG3 right after this.
Opening day has come, and it has gone. And it has gone the way that the 11 before it went, with a loss for the Browns as they lose today. The final score, the Philadelphia Eagles 29 and the Cleveland Browns 10. Doug and I are back to wrap it up after this timeout on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. 216-578-0850. Call us up. We'll take your phone calls throughout the show. Your reaction to what you saw in the season opener as the Browns dropped the game for the 12th straight time in the last 12 years. 216-578-0850. Let's go to the podium now and hear from Browns quarterback RG3.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we wanted to get the win, and that's all that matters. And we came up short today, and it started with me. Just had to play better. You know, put us in better situations, can't turn the ball over. And, you know, we'll work on those little things to make sure that we can continue to improve. Sorry about that, guys. It's my mother. She's really worried about me.
Speaking of that, how are you? I mean, it looks like you got a big hit on the sideline, one after that.
Yeah, guy kind of surprised me there on the sideline trying to get out of bounds. And, you know, it's just an unfortunate play. Just trying to, you know, fight for as many yards as we could, try to, you know, go score a touchdown, at least put us in a position to have a chance to win the game. And, you know, it hurt pretty bad, but felt like I could get back out there and finish the battle with my teammates out there on the field.
Was it the falling on the shoulder, on the arm that hurt?
Yeah, I mean, it all hurt. Yeah, it's, like I said, he just surprised me there on the sideline. I was trying to get out of bounds, you know, the play happened, and you just got to move on from it, and you know, sprained shoulder, and just, you know, monitor it and see how we can do, how it goes.
How are you now? Can you move your
left arm? Yeah, I can move my left arm. It's just, you know, I'm in pain, but I'll be okay. Just continue to monitor it.
You can be okay.
Yeah, like I said, just, you know, figured. We'll see more tomorrow, see how my shoulder's feeling, and just move on from there.
When you say you were surprised, is that why you didn't slide?
Yeah, just like I said, I was trying to get out of bounds, he kind of just surprised me there. You know, I feel like I've done a decent job of protecting myself, you know, recently, and wanted to continue that. But in the heat of that moment, he kind of just surprised me there.
Was it, when you say surprised, do you think that was a necessary hit?
Oh, I mean, I couldn't tell you. I'd have to watch the tape to see where it was and what happened. But, you know, everyone's out there fighting for one cause, and that's to win. Their side's fighting to win. We're fighting to win. So I can actually accurately project that.
Robert, how can these snaps be fixed?
We'll fix it. You know, talk to Cam. You know, we're going to rely on Cam a lot this year. And he knows that. He's a big part of our offense. You know, him and myself touch the ball every single play. So we'll get it handled and get it fixed, and I know that he'll make sure that happens too.
Can you say the guy surprised you? Did you not see him there, or did you not expect him to make a hit?
No, I just was, like I said, I was just trying to get out of bounds, and he kind of flashed on me at the last second, and I tried to protect myself.
There were a number of drop passes early in the game, first quarter.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, just, those things happen every now and then, and we just got to try to limit them. And, you know, I know those guys are out there fighting as hard as they possibly can. So, you know, the guys that did have that, we're relying on those guys to make big plays for us. And they're going to help our offense be really, really successful and help our team win games. So it's just something that we can't have happen. They know that, and we'll still keep going back to them and giving them opportunities to make plays.
What did you see on the pass?
Which one? There's two of them. Yeah, you know, I left it long, and then that was all on me. Hawk ran a great route, and I just got to hit him on that. It's an opportunity to give us a touchdown, 7 points instead of three, and I just got to make that play.
Robert, after that pass that scored all the deep one, do you feel like they were trying to take away that option from you to make you think of them?
No, I think they mixed it up the entire game. They pressed, played off. You know, they had a good game plan, and we knew it. It's just a matter of us going out and executing the plays that we needed to execute. And like I said, it starts with me. I didn't do a good enough job helping us manage the game and get those completions.
I'm not sure how much you got the chance to watch them at all, but what do you think of Wentz if you did get to see them across you?
Oh, man, I'm not watching him that much. But, you know, I'm happy for him and his family and his team. The Eagles did a great job. They won the game. I'm sure they're happy in their locker room, and we got to make sure we have that feeling next week.
How much did you build for you personally after this game? After being, when you first came back, how much did you build on a game like this for you in terms of knowing who you are and where you are and how to put the next step?
Yeah, it's just about winning each play and helping your team win. And, you know, that's what I try to go out there and do. And we didn't do that today. I didn't do that today. But, you know, you take it week by week. And next week, we got Baltimore at home, and we have an opportunity to win a game. And that's all we're focused on now.
The game was kind of a close one. You had the three, the safety, the touchdown. It just seemed like you kind of got away pretty quick. Is that still the most dramatic thing about it? Or was it the business?
Yeah, we had opportunities to win, and we got on the wrong side of the momentum, and we didn't do a good enough job. I didn't do a good enough job of helping us secure that momentum back. But you know, it's a funny game when you get out there, and it's just all about managing the situations, and I got to do a better job of that. No, we just can't hurt ourselves, and you know, I can't turn the ball over. You know, when we don't do that, we'll move the ball effectively. We'll be able to, you know, get the ball to our playmakers and run the ball effectively as well. So it's just about making sure we don't hurt ourselves with penalties and turnovers.
Jimmy, real quick, can you talk about the catches that Jarrell made and that Corey made after you came back from an early drop, and then also how important was it for you to get back in there? And I mean, you were really talking to the docs, and it seemed like they didn't really want to get
back. No, it's just, you know, I'm proud of the guys and how they fought. And you know, even after they had a bad play, they came back and made a play to make up for it. So that shows you the grittiness that they have, that they're going to fight through anything. And then, you know, on the sideline, it was just more about, you know, wanting to go out there and finish the battle with my teammates. It didn't matter what the score on the scoreboard was. It was more about, you know, just that moment and that desire to finish the battle with your teammates out there on the field.
Did you really have to argue your point, your case?
No, I mean, we talked, and we came to a conclusion, and everybody was on board.
I know it didn't work out, but
two more we got to wrap.
The fake punt, do you like the coach that let aggressive attitude that he had?
Yeah, I mean, that's coach's decision. That's not, you know, ask me, hey, Rob, should we fake this punt here? So, you know, I'm on board with whatever coach decides, and, you know, we want to go for it. We're not trying to sit back and you know, just take anything. We're trying to go after wins and take W. So we just got to do a better job, and I'll make sure that we make that happen.
On the interception, what would you have done differently?
You know, it was a good play by the linebacker. Obviously, I would not throw it. So, you know, Corey was coming up. He did a good job working his man, and it was just a good play by Hicks. Really good play by the linebacker.
That's Browns quarterback Robert Griffin III. Hope to have an update for you on his injury status. Perhaps we'll get one from Hugh Jackson when we carry his press conference live at 2:30. Let's go back to the phones at 2 o'clock. We'll have Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, with us. Let's go to Steve in Oregon. Steve, welcome.
Hey, Steve.
Steve.
It's got to be rough, you know, sitting there talking about this.
It is, but it's all right.
I guess my question is, you know, what makes this any different than everything we've seen the last 15 years? It looks like, you know, at least at first glance, and I know it's only the first game, but it looks like we got a front office that blew the first pick again. You know, Corey Coleman came out of college with questions about his hand. We passed on a big, strong, mobile quarterback who throws accurately. You know, it would have been perfect for our division. You've got a coach that makes one of the most boneheaded plays I've ever seen on your end of the field when you've got some momentum and a good punter, you know, that can maybe pin them deep. So, you know, and then, you know, you mentioned, well, maybe the
I'm glad you mentioned that. Britton Colquitt, over 50 yards a punt, a bright spot for the Browns.
Right.
I say that tongue-in-cheek. Go ahead.
Well, but, you know, and you mentioned, okay, on paper the defense looked, you know, decent. You know, at least in the first half. But, you know, how many – I think at least two of those stops might have been some drop passes. You mentioned those drop passes. And I don't know, maybe you can tell me if those were those drop passes early on that you know,
yeah, Gary had a big drop on a third down that I think was a play when the Browns were starting to get the ball going a little bit. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe the drop was the play right before the faked punt. Is that correct, Wilhelm?
Yes.
Remember? The fake punt. Let's see. Yeah, those things, it's just, those are the things that this team cannot do, that this team is just not good enough to do. Yes, it was. It was third and five. He threw it to Barnage, who dropped it, and it should have been a first down, and then the very next play, they ran it. Yes, that was it. So that was basically, and by the way, had they gotten that first down, if he had caught that, they're over midfield, they're in Eagles territory.
Right. And we've at least gained the field position.
That was a big play. That's a massive play, and it turns around, and you give them 3 points right off of that. And that's really when the offense started to click. You get the ball back, you go down for the touchdown, and you get the ball back, you're driving, then you have the interception, you move the ball down the field rather quickly, and then the third possession in a row, you get down there, and you end up with the field goal. It is, by the way, a lot of people are starting to report that RG3 could be out a while. Adam Schefter, Mary Kay Cabot reporting this as well. So here we go. And that's why they didn't trade Josh McCown.
Yeah.
That's it. And now Cody Kessler, if in fact RG3 is out, would be one play away from playing quarterback.
And what are our opportunities if Robert Griffin III is missing a substantial amount of time? What, from a roster standpoint, what do we have on the table right now? Does he can he stay a part of the part of the 53? Can we designate him at this point after 1 week for anything?
Yeah, you could have him IR designated to return.
Okay.
Depending on how long it is. So we will see what happens there, but obviously not a great situation for the Browns if that is in fact the case with Robert Griffin III. Part of it is you wanted to see, you know, what you had in him. Was he a guy that you could build around? And obviously, you know, a rough first game for him, I think he would be the first to tell you, didn't see the field as well as, you know, I think we would have all wanted him to. It was not a great performance all around for the Browns offense. And I think that was something we all certainly were paying very close attention to. And on that level, it wasn't great. RG3 to throw 2.9 seconds in that game. 2.9 seconds in that game. Again, not where he wants to be
either. And I don't necessarily believe that was on RG3. RG3 was making his way through the reads. I thought it was falls on the wide receiver's ability to get open and win in one-on-one situations and or the Philadelphia Eagles' ability to get back and close those windows based around the concepts that we were trying to run behind them.
Yeah.
And that's what comes when you have a team that can pressure the quarterback or collapse the packet. Whoa.
The packet? Are you from Boston?
Collapse the pocket with four guys. And those windows are smaller when you're dropping six and seven guys almost every play.
And they were able to generate pressure with their front. I think for the most part, the team did do a good job on the offensive line. But late in the game, obviously, that pass protection really broke down and the Browns were not able to do it. In terms of pass blocking efficiency per Pro Football Focus, the Browns ranked just 21st out of the 28 teams that have played so far going forward. Now, the Browns will also have Kevin Hogan here on the practice squad at the quarterback position if RG3 is about to, you know, we'll see what happens if he's going to be out for a while. 216-578-0850. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, will be with us right after this.